This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, a magnificent Tuesday, and we are going to talk about a few things tonight. I'm going to give you a heads up right now. I've fallen way behind. We'll do a big email roundup tonight because you have so many thoughts about taking out the cartels and what Doge is doing, and you're concerned about immigration. There's a lot of things I want to get out of the way, so we'll talk about that. Talk about this fraud. I mean, and look, it's hard to say it's anything other than fraud taking place in Social Security across the entire federal government. The Democrat Party continues to be completely lost. In fact, they are trapped. That's always a good time. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I actually want to open the show about none of these things. It's about something we have touched on before, but I'm seeing so much chatter out there that is insane and naive, and I wanted to address it. And when I say insane and naive, I'm specifically talking about the Mexican cartels, the Mexican drug cartels. So let's have a talk. I know this sounds out of left field, but it's not. It's on my mind, and so let's get our hearts prepared. Let's get our minds where they should be, because from what I'm seeing, our minds are not at all where they should be. And what do we always say? Language leads to mindset. Mindset leads to performance. I see a ton of, let's take out the cartel. Just send a drone down there and take out the cartels. Okay, first, let's remember, this goes back a very long ways. Importing drugs from south of the border into this country. This really got hot with all the Colombian cocaine cartels. We're talking the Pablo Escobar, that's the name everybody would know, the Ochoa brothers. If you nerd out on this stuff, you know it was a lot more than just Pablo Escobar, but down in that part of the world, they figured out how to make cocaine out of a plant. Cocaine got extremely popular in the United States of America in the 70s and 80s. The American people have money to burn. We take that for granted. I do. I look back at the times when I called myself poor, and I still ate two meals a day, at least. It may not have been three, and it may not have been steaks, but I was eating. We have a lot of money as a country. People with wealth and free time will oftentimes make some not so great decisions. If you've ever been a young man or young woman in your teens or 20s, you probably have made one or two bad ones yourself. And as a country, we developed an appetite for drugs, started getting it into the country. Okay, it's becoming a problem. Now we're having shootouts in the streets of Miami. Miami was ravaged by all this stuff. Starts to get the attention of the Reagan administration, and the, quote, war on drugs launches into overdrive. They're all patrolling the coast. They're cracking down on things. We may or may not have shot Pablo Escobar and then said the Colombians did it. You understand. We got involved. We got extremely involved. But actually, there's a book I'm going to tell you about, one that you may find fascinating. Let's talk about the Pablo Escobar thing, because this is going to bring me to where we are today. Just stay with me. We're talking about taking out the Mexican drug cartels. We sent the baddest dudes on the planet down to help, quote, help the Colombians take out the Mexican drug cartels. Who are the baddest dudes on the planet? Well, there are a lot of really bad dudes on this planet, in my opinion. And this is an opinion that is widely shared by the spec ops type guys. I know I'm certainly not that. I was a very average 4-year Marine grunt. I'm not some stud. But the super spec op types will generally say Delta Force. They're about as good as it gets. Old Sergeant Major of mine, in fact, he's probably listening to the sound of my voice right now, was one of these types of guys, you know, always training with this group and that group and this group and that group. You ask him and he'll tell you in half a second, oh, they're the best there are. They're the best there are. We sent the best dudes, the baddest dudes on the planet down to Colombia to kill one man. And if you would like to walk through that saga, I'm not going to walk you through it now. Go pick up the book Killing Pablo. I don't know who wrote it. Chris, will you look that up real quick? The book is called Killing Pablo. It's a very easy read and a short read. It's not some gigantic book. I have the paperback at the house. I read it years ago. It's something you can get through in a couple hours. But who is it? Yes. Oh, speaking of paperback, the Anti-Communist Manifesto. Quick, Chris, stop it. Everybody stop it. Anyway, the book is called Killing Pablo. One last time. It's about the hunt for Pablo Escobar. Mark Bowden, Chris says the guy's name. Mark Bowden. Excellent book. Wonderful book. We sent the baddest dudes on the planet into Colombia, working hand in hand with the Colombian government. Remember, the federal government of Colombia was also against Pablo Escobar. So we had the support, the assistance of the Colombian government. It wasn't easy. It took a long time. How does that happen? How could it possibly take a long time? We have the cooperation of the government of the country, so it's not like we're having to low crawl through the sewers. We have the baddest dudes on the planet. The Delta Force guys are there working with the government. We're trying to kill one guy. Why is it so difficult? Well, let's pause on that for a moment, because there are realities of life and then there are the caricatures we invent in our mind of things, okay? When it comes to drug cartels, the average American, the average law-abiding citizen has a... The second I said drug cartel, an image popped into your head of a drug cartel guy, didn't it? Maybe it's a guy who's in some black ski mask. Maybe you unfortunately came across some video of them cutting out some living person's heart online. Or maybe you pictured Pablo Escobar. But whatever you picture and whatever moral judgments you pass along to the drug cartels, I'm not telling you you're wrong. These are barbaric people who do barbaric things. What you must understand is, in their communities, oftentimes, this is not universal, but oftentimes, they are not at all that caricature. Why did it take so long to finally track down and kill Pablo Escobar? How could that possibly happen? We had the best dudes down there. Well, Pablo Escobar, to this day, is celebrated in certain circles in Medellin by the people. And I don't mean 10 people get together in a room and say, cheers to Pablo. I'm talking parades and parties. Why? This big, scary murderer shipping drugs outside of there? Well, just laying this out for you. Let's say you're poor. And I mean Mexican poor. Third world kind of country poor. The kind where your house doesn't have windows in it. Ever been in neighborhoods like that? I have, in different places across the globe. Poor, as in you have 2 bedrooms. Everyone sleeps in the same room. You'll hopefully knock out a decent meal today. Poor. And along comes somebody who gives you something to eat. He puts new clothes on your children. In fact, he not only builds them a school, he hires school teachers. Your children now have fresh clothes, 3 hots and a cot, and they're learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. I'm not telling you to sing the praises of Pablo Escobar, but If you go from that situation to clothes with meals, oh, look, a brand new soccer field. Oh, I'm a devoutly religious person. I'm a, let's say, Catholic. Pablo built us a brand new cathedral and gave our priest a place to sleep at night. Do you think, if you're being honest with yourself, you don't have to email me because you'll lie. I lie about this stuff, too. You want to lie about your moral failings? Do you think maybe, just maybe, you would feel a sense of loyalty to that human being? Do you think, even if you knew his sins, the cocaine and the murder and the do you think, even knowing his sins, that person would have a place in your heart? Do you think he clothed your children, sent them to school, took care of your priest? Do you think one night, 10 o'clock, you're putting the kids down, there's a knock at the door, and Pablo Escobar is there at your door saying, the cops are after me. May I come in and have a place to stay and hide out? Do you think you would welcome him into that home? I only told you this little story about Pablo because it's time to get our minds right about Mexico. Now, we'll keep walking through this, and then we'll move on to some other things. Before we do that, speaking of lives, we save lives as often as we can. Well, you and Preborn do. Preborn saves 200 lives every single day. 200 people a day walk the planet because of what you and Preborn do. Now, what do? Well, they don't just say they're pro-life. They don't just throw a fancy banquet somewhere. Preborn gives free ultrasounds to women who are about to abort their babies. When a woman hears a heartbeat, she will choose life almost every time. If we can just get her in the door, hey, it's free, come on in. Get her in the door, introduce her to her baby through ultrasound, we can save that baby's life. $28 is what the ultrasound costs. Remember, it's tax deductible. You're doing taxes right now. Would you like a bigger deduction next year? You can give them as much as you want. Preborn.com/Jesse. That's preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Going a different place to open up the show tonight, just because I feel like we have to adjust our mindset when it comes to the cartels, taking out the cartels, everything that is about to come. I am not trying to bring anybody down. I'm trying to adjust our mindset because I'm seeing a lot of, just send a drone and take them out. And so we're going to talk like adults here, like people who didn't watch one movie, Clear and Present Danger, and think it's that easy. So back to what we were discussing. Why did it take so long to get Pablo Escobar and the Colombian cartels? Why did it take so long to take out Pablo? Because Pablo, obviously, a murderer, a drug dealer, all those bad things are all true, yes, but he was ingrained in his community, part of his community, and therefore, it was hard to get our hands on him, hard to nail him down, hard to find him, and that's with the finest troops on the planet, Delta Force, hunting him with the cooperation of the Colombian federal government. Now, the cartel trade shifted into Mexico. Because as we discussed earlier, American federal government started smashing the Colombian cartels, killing Pablo Escobar, grabbing things in Florida. As soon as Florida got cut off, relatively cut off, to the drug trade, the cartels just simply went looking for a different one, and they found one over land through Mexico. Now, Mexico has a long history in its own right, and I'm not going to get into all that, but there were already well-established criminal elements in Mexico, organized criminal elements, who were already bringing some drugs into the United States of America. I don't want to act like it all just got created because the Colombians came to them, but they already were bringing drugs in. They were already relatively organized. They had the right people paid off in America. They had the right routes into the country. And so the Mexicans sat down with the Colombians and said, hey, look, Colombia, you make the cocaine. We will get it into the country for you for a cut, of course. the Colombians were really left without any better option at this point in time. So they said, sure, have at it. Frankly, it worked out pretty well for them. Yeah, they had to give up some money, but it's no longer Colombians getting gunned down all the time. Here, you can have some of the booger sugar, get it into America for us, and all will be well. And after this happened, the Mexican drug cartel power exploded. For a very, very brief time, they actually were able to unite as one mega cartel, and you better get down on your knees and thank God on high tonight that that only lasted about 15 minutes before they started wrecking each other. Because if they were ever one unified group, they would be easily more powerful than the Mexican government. But they broke up into a bunch of different cartels, and now you understand how the game works today. You get all that. Now, let's discuss the actual, what it looks like on the ground. Because you've heard of the Zetas, they've rebranded now, but you've heard of the Gulf Cartel and the Sinaloa Cartel. You've heard of these things. The different cartels control different portions of the American border. That's the ultimate goal. You want to control a portion of the American border where you can bring your product here. The product is not always drugs. It's not always fentanyl. It's not always cocaine, marijuana, whatever they're bringing across. Many of them have dedicated themselves solely to human beings now. Again, the largest slave trade in the history of the world is taking place on America's southern border. Well, at least it was during the Biden administration. Remember, Democrats did that on purpose. But setting that aside, they're fighting each other constantly for control, operational control of the border, so they may bring their products in. Now, remember when I talked about Pablo Escobar ingraining himself into the community? Well, let's talk about just the Sinaloa cartel, the largest one. They're more of like an umbrella cartel, but the largest one, most powerful. There's a story out there of a man going to meet the then head of the Sinaloa cartel. There's a story about him driving up the road. This is Chapo. Chapo Guzman was the then head of the Sinaloa cartel. He's driving up the road, essentially what amounts to a large driveway to Chapo's house, and he notices body parts in all the trees that are chained into the trees. Oh, look, there's a leg. There's someone's torso. There's someone's head. Done as an intimidation tactic. So that's the kind of thing these people are capable of. Only go ask the people of Sinaloa what they think of Chapo Guzman. I'm not defending Chapo Guzman. I'm not defending the cartels. And I have to keep throwing that out there. But ask them what they think. Ask them who built that church in town. Ask them who paved the roads. They were hurting for a doctor. Ask them where they went to go find a doctor. I know we have this image in our head, and it's not even an inaccurate image. It's an incomplete image. We have this image in our head of the Mexican cartel bandido wanting to cut someone's face off while he's still alive. And yes, we know he's brutal. We know he's murderous. We know they make a bunch of money. But we assume, because they're, quote, bad guys, and I realize they are bad guys, we assume to the people they live around, they are the bad guy. Now, yes, in many cases, people who live around them hate them and dislike them. But in many cases, they're part of the community. Part of the community. Ingrained in the community. And I'll finish up this talk getting our minds right for what I'm worried is coming in just a few. Before I get to that, let me get your mind right when it comes to your dog's nutrition. Your dog does not get vitamins and minerals, omega oils, antioxidants, probiotics. He doesn't get any of the things he needs from dog food. Isn't that wild to think about? That we will have dogs. Yeah, we love our dogs. I love Fred. We'll give them dog food their whole lives, and unbeknownst to us, our dogs will spend their entire lives never getting any nutrition except for the table scraps the kids slip to them under the dinner table. Isn't that crazy? You don't have to have a dog like that. You don't have to have a dog that dies too early. You're at the vet every other month.
Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. All natural nutritional supplement for your dog. Remember, they also have meow greens for your cat. I don't want to forget that if you're a cat person. Give your puppy real nutrition, whether they're old or a puppy. Free Jumpstart trial bags, and you will see differences in your dog. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and before I forget, next hour, about halfway through next hour, we're going to have the Attorney General for the state of Missouri on, Andrew Bailey. I have some things I want to ask him. Mainly, I want him to come on the show because I have a plan to commit some crimes in the state of Missouri, and I want to make sure I have some friends in high places who will be able to get me out of those crimes. You understand how all this works. Sorry, quit. Back to the drug cartels. We're trying to get our minds right here. In case you're just now joining us, we are going after the cartels. What we know is we have troops on the border. The 10th Mountain has already sent 500 troops to Fort Huachuca in Arizona. We have the Green Berets in Mexico training the Mexican government. The Trump administration is taking the cartel problem deadly, deadly, deadly serious. That's a good thing. I want them to take the problem seriously. My issue is the chatter I continue to see on television, on the radio, on social media from all of us, where it seems like our minds are not at all prepared for what is coming. Just send a drone and take them out is what I see. I see a lot of that, a lot of that. Now, back to what we were discussing. The Mexican cartels are ingrained in their communities, but it's actually much worse than that. It's not just that they're ingrained in the communities, remember. It's that they're ingrained in the governments, state and local government. So pause on this for a moment, kind of along the same lines, but I swear I'm changing the subject. It's just a little side road. Have you been looking at the deportation numbers in the country? Gone down quite a bit, haven't they? Now, why is that? Trump administration is dead set on this issue. They're not backing off. They're not failing. I'm not yelling about it. Why is that? Well, roughly half of the United States of America are controlled by evil demons known as Democrats. Democrats believe in not deporting people. Democrats believe in importing as many foreign barbarians as possible. And so because the illegal immigrants in states like California are protected by the government of California, our all-powerful federal government, ICE, all this stuff, they're having a hard time getting their hands on these people to ship them back from whence they came. Now, that is in a civilized country like the United States of America dealing with a government of California. Now, let's go down to Mexico, where the cartels are not only an ingrained criminal organization inside of their communities, they control half of the Mexican states, half of the states, and the federal government. If they don't control the federal government, because I don't want to overspeak there, they're very, very ingrained and involved in the federal government. But the states, that's not even up for debate. How many times have you heard Brandon Darby come on this show and explain that Mexico is not a failed state, but it is a fragile one because the cartels control half of the states? It would be like us going to California and trying to get the illegals out, only it was Chapo Guzman as governor of California and his henchmen running the other city organizations. And I know we watched Clear and Present Danger, and we saw that they just did this with a couple special forces guys and a big bomb. if the plan is to take out the cartels, we have to get our minds right for what this is going to look like. And it is not going to be clean. It is not going to be easy. It is not going to be quick. And actually, I'll take it this far. I don't know that the plan is to completely eradicate the cartels. I'm not saying that, but if it is, I don't even know if we can do it. That's how long and perilous and violent this journey will be. Well, so let's go ahead and go over some of the arguments I've seen. Well, Jesse, we're training them so they can do it. Did you know that the Mexican government under Calderon, did you know that they already waged war on the cartels? This is about a decade ago, roughly. They waged war on the cartels. They lost. You know that? Did you know that the Mexican government, after 200,000 people died, backed off of their war? That's Mexico's federal government fighting in territory they knew. They're oblong the same language. They know the culture. Mexico's own government couldn't do it. And so now you bring that to, well, we can. We're not the Mexicans. Understandable way of thinking. I get that. You're right. We are much better trained, much better equipped. We have a much, much, much better fighting force, to put it mildly, than the Mexicans. How many of them, our troops, are you willing to see die? Any? Most people will probably say, well, yeah, it's worth it. And I'm not disagreeing, by the way. Please keep in mind, I'm not saying this fight is not worth it. That is not what I'm saying. I am saying, get yourself ready for what is something that will not be quick and it will not be easy, because the movie Sicario was fiction. The movie Clear and Present Danger was fiction. Remember what we just went through in Afghanistan? For 20 years, we fought against an ingrained group that had some money, but they were ingrained in the population. And at the end of that 20-year thing with all the super spec op types there, at the end of that 20-year engagement, all the drones, all the technology, all the bombs, all the green berets, all the everything, 20 years of that, and we left and they won. They're still over there running things now with our weapons and equipment. That's a fact. With our weapons and equipment. Again, I am not saying we shouldn't do it. When we have 100,000 Americans a year dying from fentanyl, something must be done. I'm not saying we shouldn't do something. I am saying what I'm saying now because I want to get your head where it needs to be, because what is coming has the potential to be Afghanistan. Depending on what the goal is, what is coming has the potential to be Vietnam. And you can say I'm nuts. Oh, I might be underselling things. How many cartel people live, work, and worship around you in America? I live here in the Houston area. I could give you the name of the town, but I will not. You can probably look it up online. There is a suburb, a nice suburb of the Houston area. I'm talking the white suburbs, a really nice suburb of the Houston area. That suburb, it is the headquarters of all the cartel groups who operate in the Houston area. They not only live in the same town, they actually live in the exact same neighborhood with a tentative agreement with the police department that there will be no violence here in our town on our shores, but they are here running their operations, their Houston operations, from right here in my area. That's one story. How many places? How much money do they have? How many drones? We'll use drones. You think they don't have drones? I have more friends in the Border Patrol than I can possibly count. You know how many of them have told me, Jesse, they have better equipment than we do. Jesse, they have encrypted comms. Jesse, they have 50 cals. Jesse, they have... I'm not telling you we can't get it done. But I am telling you this chatter that I see. We'll take them out. We'll just take out their leaders. Let's bomb where they're at. It is as naive as, we're just going to go take out the Taliban. We'll be right back. That is not how that looks. And that is not how that works. Get yourself right. I'm going to move off this now. I want to do some emails and some other things. I should note, in the third hour, Chris just reached out for him. Brandon Darby, our resident cartel expert, Brandon Darby is going to join us halfway through the third hour to talk some more about this. I just want us to get our minds right. Not saying back off of it. Let's get our minds where we need to be. Is your mind where you need to be? Who do you have your cell phone with? Do you have AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon? Those companies take your money and they use it against you. They take your money and they use it against your culture, your family, your country. We have got to start being more purposeful with where we spend our money. And that's where Pure Talk comes in. The American mobile company. The one that hires Americans. Their CEO, speaking of Vietnam, fought in Vietnam. Two tours. They are so passionate about America that long before, you know, Trump got back in office, Pure Talk was hiring American citizens. When you get a hold of someone at Pure Talk to switch your service, it'll take you 10 minutes. You get a free phone with a qualifying plan, and you'll speak to an American who speaks English. Support American companies. Support American jobs. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's get away from the serious stuff for a few here. We'll come back and have a discussion about where Democrats are right now. James Carville had some hard words for them. Well, we'll link that up with the Social Security fraud. I mean, there's not another way to put it. Corruption going on. All that and so much more to come. I'm going to do this. I got a couple of these emails about last night. Jesse, thanks for Medal of Honor Monday. As soon as I heard Evan's name, I was hoping I wasn't going to get choked up since I was at work listening to the podcast. I can't believe you didn't get choked up. I think most of the crew members of the Johnston and the Samuel B. Roberts and probably a bunch more worthy of medals for that day. Another one of these. Jesse, I just heard the remarkable story of the USS Johnston on Medal of Honor Monday. What the captain did was essentially the naval ship version of throwing himself on a grenade to save his buddies. Their heroism is unfathomable to a knucklehead like me. May he and his whole crew rest in peace. Keep up the good work, brother. Look, if you missed last night's Medal of Honor Monday, I did a couple segments because I did a bunch of history around it. It's worth your time. As always, it's the start of hour two on Monday's show, so if you're interested in that, little Medal of Honor segment, little history, iHeart, Spotify, iTunes, you can go download that. But you ask how I didn't get choked up, I'll tell you something. I have, I would say 10, probably less than 10, 10 or less, doing Medal of Honor Monday. When I fire up TAPS, sometimes I need every second of TAPS to pull myself back together because the story moves me too. And last night was one of those times. It always has been that way for me with that story of not only Commander Evans, but just the USS Johnston. Because what that last guy just said about it was the naval version of throwing yourself on a grenade, that's what it was. You charge that Japanese armada in a lightly armored destroyer, you know you're going to die. It's not a matter of if. You are heading at them. You will die. You are hoping you're going to get as many licks in as you can, but your ship, at least, if not every man, but your ship is going to the bottom. It is. You will not survive. There are no. The thing about naval warfare, which I've always found fascinating, is there aren't many upsets. It's one of the things about naval warfare. There just aren't very many upsets. When you have a power that is superior in guns, in armor, in ships, superior to the other power, you're going to die. And there's precious little you can ever do about that. And that was what we saw in that story, is that brave crew. I mean, I find that type of combat to be so terrifying anyway. Combat itself is frightening. You know, getting shot at was no fun. I fully admit that. I did not enjoy the experience at all. But just sitting there lobbing car-sized shells at each other on the naval ship and knowing. And you know what would really freak me out? I don't even know where I'd be most scared. I'd probably just wet myself and lay down and just cry. What if you were inside the ship? Remember, most of the people are not on the surface. You don't generally want to spend a ton of time up there unless you need to be up there with other duties. Think about how many people are in the bowels of the ship listening to car-sized shells not only hit your ship, land. You'll hear it if you're down below, land right by you. You can hear it land in the water, and now you have to sit there and do whatever your duties happen to be, wondering if the next one is coming up your rear end. No, thanks. I'd rather be in a ditch any day of the week. I'd rather see it coming. Jesse, I like you, but you're an ignorant beep when it comes to NATO. The biggest instigating POSs in NATO are the British and the French in a close second. And since that's the case, the whole organization is rotten to the core. It's nothing but a tool used to push the liberal agenda down the rest of the world's throat so you can get over your rhino instinct that's telling you to save it. Elon Musk said it's a useless war rhetoric. Relic, and he's exactly right. You know, sometimes I actually forget that no matter what setting you're in, you could be, maybe you're a school teacher, maybe you are in charge of a company with 100 people in it, giving a speech to a room of 50 people, or hosting a radio show. There will be a certain percentage of people you talk to who are just dumb. Really, really dumb. And what's wild is the dumb ones are usually the nastiest ones. It's crazy how often that works out. When I talked about NATO last night, I couldn't have been more specific. I said we should kick Germany out of NATO. And I even said during that talk, I'd rather we just left NATO, but I want Germany to be publicly punished. Like, I explained everything. In fact, I blasted NATO. But you have guys like this. Of course, he's the one who had to call me an ignorant F word. He has the IQ of a turtle. One, not even a big sea turtle. One of the small ones in the side of a pond. Heard what he wanted to hear and actually typed up an entire email calling me a rhino. Buddy. Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. You are too dumb for this show. There are tons of, that's the beauty of this world we live in now. When it comes to TV and radio and podcasts, man, it's nothing but options for you. Nothing but options for you. You need to find some moron who will just basically read a Trump press release every day on the radio. It'll be simple, easy for you to follow along. There will be no thinking involved whatsoever. It's like a, think of it like special needs radio. That's what you are, special needs. So you don't need to be in any of the advanced classes. That's only cheating you. I'm worried about you. You're cheating yourself. You need to be in the special needs radio classes, okay? Now, maybe it would help to go download last night's show and just read anything I said, but that's me trying to be nice. I'm trying to help you out, okay? Special needs. Get yourself some help. Let's talk about the Democrat Party in disarray. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.